And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, happy Monday, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. What's going on, Ben?
Doing well, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How was your weekend? Good times?
Rainy, for the
yes,
most part.
Yes, it was. I did notice that.
Hosted a little gathering Friday night that was fun.
What, like a kegger?
No, kind of a end of season for some of the basketball people. So it was fun.
So, kegger?
Not quite.
No?
Can you even get those in Utah?
No, but I mean, Wyoming's not that far.
In the rain? No one's driving to Wyoming in the rain. It's rainy all day Friday. So, no. Not that. But a good little event. Nice to put the bow on the end of the season. How was your weekend?
It was good. Now, like, ultimately it went well, but it was fairly chaotic. Happy third birthday to my daughter, Maggie.
Oh, yeah.
Which is today.
Wow, so very exciting.
Excited about that. But we had a party for her little friends on Saturday, and the rain was really inconvenient because we had it at our house, but we were going to have outside activities, you know,
yeah,
for the little kids. But we had to go inside, but that turned out fine. And then we had the family over yesterday to do, you know, another little party. And so it was fairly chaotic hosting people like a couple days in a row, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But everything went well. At the same time, Miss Maggie is potty training. And so, like, she's, you know, we're using it as a thing. Like, you're turning three. Like, three-year-olds, big kids.
Yeah.
We're hitting the potty.
Mm-hmm.
So my weekend was filled with some poopy underwear.
Oh, okay.
Which was a downside.
Yours or hers?
Not mine.
You guys not doing the potty watch?
We're trying some. We've tried some timer stuff.
Okay.
We've done some of that, but to varying levels of success.
Yeah.
And she actually did pretty well this weekend, but, you know.
I think you did the smart thing
learning.
Waiting. Some people try and do it at like two, right as they turn two. It's like, it's not going to work. It's too early. I think waiting is a good idea.
Well, having her kind of have some skin in the game, too, was kind of the idea.
Yep.
Like, we tried it a couple of times, like 6 months ago, and it was just, she wasn't there.
Yeah.
And now she's got some enthusiasm about it, so we're going for it.
Good.
But, you know, it's one of those things where you can't, like, you can't be mad.
Sure.
You're not real stoked that it happened.
Correct.
But your reaction really matters. And so it's
right.
Like... it's okay.
Yeah, right.
No, fine.
Yeah, yeah. I got to credit the mother of my children who did a very good job potty training the kids on weekends when I was working, and I think one of them I was out of town, and she was like, I'm just doing it. We're going to do the thing. And she nailed it. So I didn't deal with that as much. That was not a struggle we had.
No?
Not really. It was really not a struggle we had. That was a quick weekend for both of them. So I was lucky. And of course, every kid's different. You know, we didn't do anything right. We just got lucky.
Yeah. Well, my now almost 7-year-old, she was, I mean, it was an instant.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about. Like
yeah.
She was like, all right, I'm good. And
some
she had a couple accidents and then it was, you know.
Some people take a 6-month thing. Like it, their kids are always trying and failing and trying and failing.
I don't mean to, you know, bring up Lloyd's business, but I know he had a real challenge with one of his.
Yeah.
And it's just...
every kid's different.
Right. And I realize that on a daily basis. Like,
yep.
And we're all just trying to do our best, right? The kids, the parents, siblings, we're all just trying to do our best. And just a little grace. It's all right. Poopy underwear. What's the worst of it?
Yeah, right. It's doable.
By the way, do you have anybody in your life or have you talked to anybody about what life was like before disposable diapers?
No. I'm sure it was a disaster.
oh, I have no idea why people even had children. I, my neighbors were these widows in their 90s. Ben, they both, one's passed on, but moved since. And but when we first had kids, we had them over and they wanted to see the baby and all that. And they were telling us about, you know, raising their children. And truly the best day of their lives was when their last kid was potty trained, because they were using these. I mean, it involved laundry of these diapers on a daily basis, disposal, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it was a thing. Man, bless disposable diapers.
Yeah. Probably environmental disaster and a real life saver.
A real worth one. a real worthwhile saver. One. I'm excited about it. Sorry, Mother Earth.
Yeah. Hey, I used them.
I've talked to a lot of my, more earthy friends, and they've started out with the and there's a service, right? Diaper service, cloth diaper service or whatever, and it always lasts like a month, maybe 2 weeks. And they're like, ah, can't do this. There's Huggies down at the Costco. It's so much easier.
Yeah.
Anywho, Ben, it was an interesting sports weekend.
Yeah, a lot of sports going on.
Where do you want to start? We could start NBA playoffs. We could start draft.
We start with the playoffs. I think that's kind of the interesting point. I think there's, Rudy Gobert is proving what I think a lot of fans locally saw, which is Rudy Gobert is not a problem in the playoffs. We knew that. There were issues with how the Jazz played. There were issues with how the Jazz were built. I still think pulling the plug on that roster was the right decision. I think, as long as those two players were your best players, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, the Jazz ceiling was significantly lower than what you're seeing from the Minnesota Timberwolves right now, and I want to get more into that in a moment, but I still think it was the right decision. Now, it has got to be daunting to be Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck and Ryan Smith and look at the rest of the Western Conference and be like, oh man, Ant's 22, Victor Wembanyama's 20, Chet Holmgren's 21. Ja Morant's like 24, 23. Like, the West is just absolutely stacked. Denver's not going anywhere for a while. Just like, how do you make noise in this conference? When is this door going to open for you again there where you have a chance to have even one of the 10 best players, not in the NBA, in the conference? And then how do you get a team back to being even remotely competitive? Because with all due respect to the Jazz's young players, who I think are all good and are going to be in the NBA, and Lauri Markkanen's a very good player, it's like, what I've watched over the weekend, the Jazz aren't remotely close to. I mean, they don't have anyone remotely close to as good as Anthony Edwards is, and they're not going to have anyone as good as Vic, as long as Vic stays healthy and gets there, and Shea's quite a player, and it's just, the West is stacked. It's just stacked once again.
Yes. But, I mean, who in the league does have Anthony Edwards? I mean, he's incredible.
Right. Yeah.
But, which is always, have some perspective. I mean, you yourself have called Wemby the next thing, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, but think about this, though, because we're thinking long term.
Yeah.
Because, the Jazz are not going to be that next year. If you're expecting that, then I don't know what to tell you. Lest they land said big game. That's not happening because they're in a rebuild. But how many in his general manager career, how many MVPs has Sam Presti traded?
Three?
Two, but lost a third.
Okay.
And let's not count Rusty.
Because he didn't trade Kevin Durant.
No.
Kevin Durant signed elsewhere.
Correct.
But Russell Westbrook won an MVP. James Harden won an MVP. Okay.
So, Presti's such a bozo. How do I know he's not going to wake up and trade Chet tomorrow? The Timberwolves have been one of the worst-run franchises in sports for pretty much their whole existence and are in a salary cap nightmare and really have some big decisions that they have to make. Oh, and their ownership situation is
a disaster.
A disaster.
Yep.
So let's see. Who else do we want to talk? I mean, in this league, especially now, I don't know what tomorrow's going to be like. Oh, San Antonio How many MVPs faked an injury to get out of their out from under their franchise?
Yeah. Right. And
one.
No, look, I'm totally with you. And that's why I said I wanted to talk a little bit more about Minnesota going forward, which is, yes, it has to be daunting. Yes, this is going to be a long process for the Jazz. Like that, they're not going to have a summer where they put it together and all of a sudden they're back in the conversation. It's
no.
You're going to have to build through the draft a couple of times. They've already done it 2 years in a row. You might have to do it two more years in a row. You're going to have to hit on some trades. You're going to have to hit on some mid to late round draft picks to find guys that are far above average. Like, there's a lot of work that has to be done for the Jazz to get back in this conversation, and I don't think it's going to happen in the next 12 to 24 months. It's just this process is going to be pushed out quite a while because of the rest of the NBA. Now, the league, 18 months ago, it wasn't even that long ago. I guess it wasn't. It was when this whole second apron stuff started to pop up. It is designed specifically, the new CBA, to prevent these teams from running the league for 8 straight years.
Yes.
It is specifically designed to make sure that you get to a point where you start getting really good and you're going to lose players as a result because they're all going to want to get paid and you simply are not going to be able to afford to pay them. They're going to have to go elsewhere if they want to get fair market value. Now, if you get a bunch of guys who want to sign below market value, which very rarely happens, fine, you can keep your team together. It's not going
to
be the case.
It is designed to make sure that you do not have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant on the same team.
Right.
Specifically.
Exactly.
Like, they created that rule in response to that team.
So I don't think you're going to have these teams keep these super teams together that are in the process of building right now for a very long period of time. Now, we can go piece by piece and pick apart where these teams have fatal flaws. And we can start last night with Minnesota, who was awesome and honestly might be a true contender this year. I mean, they're going to give Denver a hell of a series coming up in the next round. They might beat Denver. I still think having Jokic is the difference. And look, Minnesota beating a very, very flawed Suns team, which we've talked about all year long, how flawed
Phoenix
that Suns
is. Terrible.
I mean, that's not a championship by itself.
You can't have three max players and then have anybody else on the team.
Yeah, and you can't.
And that's an example.
And those three guys specifically are so poorly put together.
Yeah,
but regardless,
it doesn't work.
We can talk about the big picture and what the long run looks like for the Minnesota Timberwolves and say, well, 2 years from now, Mike Conley's going to be quite old. Rudy Gobert is going to be pretty old. He's not as old as Mike is, but he's going to start to lose it. Traditionally, centers of that ilk start to drop off dramatically quickly. You remember DeAndre Jordan was a big deal for a while, and then DeAndre Jordan woke up one morning and basically couldn't play basketball anymore. It was totally unimpactful. And then they're going to run into the salary cap issues of they're going to have to get rid of Kat, who was awesome last night. Credit to Kat. They'll probably keep Anthony Edwards around as long as he's willing to stay in Minnesota. But last night, to me, even watching their social media, felt exactly like the Jazz beating the Oklahoma City Thunder with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and Donovan's rookie year and everyone being like, oh man, this team's going to be together forever. Like, the Jazz have their next iteration. They've got all these young players. They still have draft picks. They're awesome. They're going to be the real deal. And that was, what, 5 years ago? None of those players are on the team anymore? Like, that is how quickly the NBA changes, and you're only one or two playoff disappointments away from all this excitement that you have after winning a series like the Timberwolves did last night, being totally dashed, and not hitting the reset button. Maybe they don't do it as dramatically as the Jazz did, but like you said, how quickly things change in the NBA and how difficult it actually is to see it through to win a title.
Can I get lost in the weeds on something with you for a second, your take on Biggs? Because bigs like Dikembe Mutombo played great basketball until they were like 105.
Yeah.
Because their value was evident and really didn't deteriorate because like Dikembe Mutombo could always be a rim protector.
Yeah.
And a big physical big. And he was enough on offense that you could play him. I would argue that DeAndre Jordan didn't forget how to play basketball. He was never that great and the league passed him by. Because he could never shoot free throws.
Sure.
And so all of a sudden, the league figured out, well, you can't play this guy. If he can't shoot free throws, you can't play him. And he was a decent shot blocker, but he was never a good big. He was never a good rim, like, protector, quote unquote. You know, Rudy's best defensive years have come not when he's led the league in shot blocking. Quite the contrary, right? He got his first defensive player of the year after he led the league in block shots. And he told us about it, Ben. You were in those rooms. He told us about how his defense had evolved and how it wasn't necessarily about blocking shots. I think that, and this comes back to where we started this conversation, playing Rudy in the playoffs. I think it comes back to, does the league evolve past Rudy before he's ready to retire? I don't think Rudy's, and I could be wrong about this. I'm not a doctor, but I think Rudy can do what he's doing forever. I mean, as long as he's long enough to guard the pick and roll single-handedly and to, you know, cover a monstrous amount of space, and maybe his body gives out on him. I don't know. That's definitely a thing with Biggs as well. But I don't know. I don't know if Rudy all of a sudden loses it as much as, well, yeah, you can't play that guy because he's so offensively limited. The good thing about Rudy is he can shoot free throws well enough that you can play him. But rolling it, think of like Tyson Chandler, like guys who can do one thing, and that's roll to the rim and dunk. They're good for like 10 minutes, and then you figure out like, oh, I just got to drop the big, and I totally take that away, and they can't do anything else. And then next thing you know, it's out of the league. So I would think the biggest threat to Rudy's career is, does the NBA somehow figure him out and make him unplayable?
I think Rudy, his issue will be going forward is that he's going to lose a step athletically, which he's already a little bit slower. And last year you saw how unimpactful he was because he was dealing with a groin injury all year. And it did take about a half step away from his game.
And the coaches hadn't figured it out.
And they hadn't figured it out.
They hadn't figured it out.
But because he couldn't move as well as he did this year when he was healthy again, you saw how quickly unimpactful he became. So if he loses that quickness that he has to cover all that ground, to rotate. Now, the rest of the guys around him are awesome. I mean, there was a possession last night where they blew up a great showing of ball movement from the Suns. A ball that flew around the perimeter, got to the baseline. They tried to kick it, and Rudy wasn't even on the floor, and these five Timberwolves players shut it down. They were awesome. I mean, everybody was rotating, running their butts off, doing everything you have to. But if Rudy slows down a little bit, I think it will have a major impact. I think we will see it. But he is not going to do, like you said, Tyson Chandler, DeAndre Jordan, where those guys turned 31 and totally fell off the map because they could just no longer run and jump like they could.
The biggest threat to Rudy's career is the issue of, what do you do when everybody on the floor can shoot a three? What do you do with Rudy when everyone on the floor? We've seen what happens when Rudy's guy can shoot a three. We saw that with Terrence Mann against the Clippers. What happens when you don't adapt when Rudy's guy can shoot a three? Well, I actually think the Timberwolves have done a good job adapting to that. And it's actually helpful in a weird way that Karl Anthony Towns doesn't want to be a physical player because he can stand out on the perimeter and put a hand in somebody's face, you know? I mean, we've seen Rudy guard Russell Westbrook at times. It doesn't matter. He can guard whoever. He can stand in the paint and do his thing as long as one player on the floor isn't a shooter. How many teams can legit go five out right now? A lot. And I'm not talking like plug together some bench / starting unit of five guys. I'm talking about like a legit unit that can go five out for the majority of the game. I don't know if it exists. We should ask Locke. He would know something like that.
Yeah.
So as long as that's a thing, I think Rudy can be super effective for the near future. For the rest of his contract anyway.
Well, that's actually where the real issue with Rudy comes up, is that his contract is so expensive.
Yeah, he's being paid a ton.
Someone is going to say, yes, he's good, but he shouldn't be the highest paid player on the roster or the second highest paid player on the roster. Now,
by the end of his deal, he won't.
No, his number actually compared to Cat and what Anthony Edwards is going to make is not that high. I mean, it's at $46 million. And by the way, he expires at the end of next season. He's got a player option for the 25-26 season,
which he'll pick up.
I bet he drops it, because if he's still good, he's going to try and sign another 4-year, $150 million deal.
He won't get it. He wouldn't get it now.
He could get easily $35 million a year. Now, that's $13 million less than he'd make in a season, but he may say, hey, don't risk another year of injury. I'm going to cut this deal short, and I want to sign another, 4 years, $160 million. And yes, it's less, but I want that extra money on the back end. It's what Drew Holiday did this offseason. You see guys do that. I'll be curious what Rudy does. If he has a good year next year, he'll opt out. If he has a bad year, he'll stay in. But that's going to be where his issue does start to crop up. People are going to say, well, what's he actually worth? Because he's absolutely critical to what the Timberwolves do And they're still, I think, going to start to prioritize their future. And again, you're one playoff series loss away from all this goodwill that they have not feeling so good anymore. You are a five game loss to the
Nuggets.
Denver Nuggets in the next round of saying like, oh man, we've got all these issues. Actually.
I don't think they lose in five.
No,
Denver.
I don't think they do either, though. I don't think they do, but you're always that close.
I think that what they do with Karl Anthony Towns will be really fascinating. Because I don't think they can move Rudy. I mean, they could, but I mean, not in like an advantageous way. You know what I mean? Like anybody's movable. But if Russell Westbrook proved anything, is you can trade anybody.
Yeah.
But for an advantageous trade, you know, a trade that can make you better, I don't think they can move Rudy. I think they could, Karl Anthony Towns. And they can't pay all three of those guys at the same time.
No, you just can't pay everybody.
So,
no, he's already under contract through the 2027-28. His final year is a player option for $60
million. But bringing this conversation all the way full circle, where if you're the Jazz and you're looking at the rest of the West, are you intimidated? Not really. I mean, let's say the Timberwolves win the championship. There's a good chance that they would have to break the team up anyway.
Yeah, again, this
or
is...
Or at least trade Karl Anthony Towns.
This is the whole design of the CBA. It is designed specifically to blow these teams up.
Don't fret. Don't doom and gloom it. Yeah. There's no guarantee that any of these teams will be a top. You know, like I said, Sam Presti had a bad burrito and woke up the next day and traded James Harden over $5 million.
Yeah.
He gets so much credit. I still think that's one of the dumbest moves. I mean, moving off one of those guys was going to be inevitable, but at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, it probably in the long run cost you Kevin Durant.
Right? It did in the long run cost you Kevin Durant because you were in the finals with those three and then you weren't. And then they lost to Golden State in seven. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And that basically was Kevin Durant leaving because didn't Draymond Green call Kevin Durant in tears in the parking lot? We need you.
We need you. Yeah.
After they lost to Cleveland in the finals.
Yeah. I mean, you look around the West.
Like who's to say that some big move wouldn't make? I mean, you think. Let's say Joel Embiid wakes up one day and realizes, like, this Philly is a disaster.
Yeah.
In the NBA, he could make a phone call and say, I demand a trade, and he will be moved. In the 80s, you could say, okay, demand a trade. All right.
Yeah, sure.
You demand away.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, he'd be out tomorrow. What if Giannis really doesn't like Milwaukee and playing with Dame anymore?
Well, you know, and to this point, the team that we are probably not talking enough about, the disaster that is the Phoenix Suns. I mean, 2021, they make the finals with Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, and they're like they've got all these draft picks going forward. And you're like, man, this team is set for a decade. Devin Booker's the best shooting guard in the NBA. He's figuring out how to play both sides of the floor. Yes, you've got the expiring contract of Chris Paul coming up at some point, but you'll move it and you'll replace it. Everybody wants to live in Phoenix. Everybody's going to want to play with Devin Booker. I mean, that was the conversation. Every star in the NBA wants to play with Devin Booker. That was the whole conversation. That was 3 years ago.
Then they used up all that cap space re-signing Chris Paul, which home run. And then you got a new owner.
The new owner came in within 15 minutes of getting there, traded every asset they had to get Kevin Durant, and it was all downhill from there. So... Yeah,
and
the league moves very quickly.
Ate the worst contract from probably the most overrated player in the league.
Not great articles coming out about Matt Ishbia this morning, the owner of the Suns.
That is not how it's done.
Yeah. So, again, to this point where it's got to feel daunting, and at the same point, you just got to kind of ride it out if you're a Jazz fan and, you know, the Jazz front office and say, the seas will part and you will find an opportunity to move forward.
All right, let's touch on the rest of the NBA playoff game since we were really T-Wolves focused there and they're on to the second round. We'll talk about the rest of the playoffs coming up in top three stories. We'll get into the draft as well. Stay tuned. Jake and Ben on a Monday, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Down the biggest stories of the day. This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Time for the top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Brought to you by J. Brooks Jewelers. Two locations to serve you. One on Winchester Street across from Fashion Place Mall. The other, Traverse Mountain in Lehigh. All right, Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, seven local players selected in the NFL draft.
How much draft did you watch?
None.
I watched quite a bit Saturday as well. I didn't have as much on Friday. Watching more playoffs.
I had birthday duties, as I mentioned, and happened to catch some NBA playoff action, but had a tough time with the draft.
Everybody went to the Broncos or the Bills, so pretty easy to follow.
Yeah, right? What's the deal there?
Well, the Broncos have kind of always had a connection to the Utes, right? They've always kind of gone heavy in that direction, it feels like, and continued. I mean, they took Jonah Ellis far higher than I think a lot of
third
people
round,
projected.
Right?
Now, to be fair, last week Michelle came on our show, Michelle Vodkin, our Utah insider, and said she was watching for Jonah to get drafted on Friday night, and she was totally right. That was not a lot of projection that I'd seen around either mock drafts or anywhere else.
The question I asked her was, what am I missing? Because I didn't understand why he wasn't more sought after, because he was electric last year, and he showed a nose for getting to the quarterback, which absolutely is a thing. And his old man was dominant, dominant. So good for him. They obviously believe in him. Yeah. I get it.
No, absolutely. The Lions also drafted Sione Vaki. Cole Bishop goes to the Bills. It was a great draft for Utah. Again, five players after that season for the Utes was a big deal, because I didn't think all these players were stars. Jonah obviously was. Cole Bishop obviously was. But it shows a lot of respect. Now, I loved Kingsley Suamataea going to the Kansas City
Chiefs. Andy Reid.
Having a chance to win a title and play for the greatest quarterback on the planet right now is awesome. So I like the landing spots of all of our players. You and I both like the Lions. We think that's a cool team. So Vaki going there. Now, I know there's a lot of talk that, he technically was listed as a running back when they drafted him. They're going to play him at safety, right?
He's a safety.
There's got to be no doubt about that. I mean, I haven't followed up on what his press conference and what they'd said. I don't know if they had done that even yet, but I very strongly suspect he's going to be a safety. Devon Vele goes to the Broncos as well. They had a lot of success with Tim Patrick, who has some Devon Vele comps. So we will see. We'll see how that all works out. I'm happy for all those players, though. It's incredible to get drafted and have an opportunity to make a living doing this, rooting for all of them.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I think it's a compliment to the level of college football that's played around here. And, of course, that you got to keep that going, and that's a recruiting, and the college landscape is changing and all those things. But BYU had a run there for 10 years where they did not send players to the NFL. It really, admittedly, Bronco did say that it was not the goal of the program. Bronco did not. You were not necessarily coming into BYU to develop for the NFL. That was not that was fine, right? But that was not his priority, right? Other things were going to be his priority. He was a developer of men, Ben, which is fine. But sending players to the NFL sends a message to recruits, and it's an example of the high-level talent that you have on your team.
The idea that you can't do both. Like, you can develop men, and you can also go to the NFL.
Don't criticize me. It wasn't my policy.
Yeah, it's a stupid concept from Bronco.
I think he wanted to stand out in the sense that everybody else just sells NFL garbage to every recruit, right? I mean, they would have approached an 18-year-old Ben Anderson, string bean, been like, we're going to get you go in the second round, man.
Looks like a special teams guy to me. Eddie Heckard also gets an invite for a rookie camp for the Broncos. Thomas Yasmin signed an undrafted free agent deal with the Broncos as well. And then Keaton Bill signed with the Bills. Again, a very heavy Bills and Broncos weekend for our local players. So very cool. I'm excited for them. We'll see who's able to stick and who's able to make the rosters. But, I mean, Jonah Ellis getting drafted in the third round is a good sign. You're gonna get an opportunity to make that roster.
Do you think proven ability to play in a cold weather climate has something to do with it?
I think you get experience with some of these kids being adults, which, to Broncos' credit, going back to the value of men and creating these low-drama guys, like, who was the last local player that went somewhere that, like, was a head case?
No, I think that's a good point. Yeah.
Like,
well,
you don't
I mean,
hear
there
about
was
it.
that receiver that made a stop at Utah that was pretty bananas.
The weed guy?
Yeah.
Josh. What was his name? But yeah, regardless.
But he didn't make it to Utah for a reason. Like,
yeah, right. He came through and.
No, for the most part, it's pretty solid. Pretty solid dudes and players and citizens. And, you know, the skill level is where it needs to be. Like, all those things are really good signs.
The Bills GM, in his video, because the Bills do some very awesome draft day stuff on the social media. I mean, he said when he was talking to Cole Bishop, he's like, yeah, I've had Dalton Kincaid in my ear telling me how good of a guy you are. Like, and if Dalton says it, I believe it. Like, honestly, I think they value that some of these guys show up, they do their job, they're pros, they're not going to be a headache. That probably has a lot of value when you're starting to pick guys in the third and fourth round.
You mean somebody that, you know, would come on a radio show weekly with alarming consistency and grace? That's a good sign that they're pretty cool.
Hey, we tried to get Cole Bishop on, too, and he said no. With all
so never
respect.
Mind. He's going to be with a miserable
respect,
failure.
That guy's not going to have a chance. But Dalton's a hell of a dude.
Yep.
Keep paying him. Josh Gordon, by the way.
Thank you.
Josh
all
Gordon,
right.
The weed guy.
Yeah. What's next?
Number two, a recap of the NBA playoff weekend.
Very busy weekend. How about the Lakers keeping themselves alive for one more night?
I couldn't be more surprised. I mean, I thought for sure they would just mail it in. Because who wants to get on the plane and go to Denver only to eat a loss? I mean,
I felt the same way. I felt the same way. I thought, oh, man, that's – and I've covered those teams. I remember the Jazz were down 3-0 to the Rockets, and then they hit a bunch of threes in the first quarter in game four. And it was just like, ugh. You're going back to Houston to lose, and they did.
I just can't wait to see what move LeBron makes in the offseason. Put him over the hump.
So they're going to get eliminated tonight. I suspect that series ends. We'll see. Jamal Murray has a calf strain. The Clippers battling back, taking a 30-point lead in the first half against the Mavericks, blowing it in the third quarter. Dallas actually took a lead in the fourth, but the Clippers ended up emerging on the road. We had both said that home court advantage in that series particularly did not matter.
Does not matter, but the Clippers are better without Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, he's just moving too slow.
Yeah, he's whatever. I mean, if we were talking about 100% Kawhi Leonard, maybe it would be a different story. But right now, Steve Cleveland talked about it this morning on DJ and PK, and I think he's 100% right. When he plays, they defer to him because that's what's been drilled into their mind is like, okay, this guy's only going to play one out of four games, but when he plays, you got to let him do his thing. And so nobody feels that they can really play their game because they've got to defer to Kawhi. And to your point, he's not good enough to be that. So take him out of the equation and you empower Paul George. What a shot.
Absolutely.
I mean, what a brutally awful shot.
Yeah.
I mean, the gall on somebody to think that they could take that shot and have a prayer of making it and then it went in.
Yeah. I mean, they just don't have any rhythm when Kawhi's out there because he's playing at a different pace than everybody else right now. So that was bad for them. So very impressive win. They go back to L.A. coming up in a couple of days.
Listen,
that series tied 2-2.
If our guy Jimmy Harden, can score 33 points on 17 shots, that's real value right there. That's not old school James Harden. In my opinion, I don't know, Ben, maybe you disagree, but it doesn't seem to be the James Harden show, let the air out of the ball. He's actually playing point guard out there.
The
and
problem
I think
is,
that's awesome.
There's no rhyme or reason to what James Harden does one playoff game to the next.
Because
he had 40 last year for the 76ers when Joel Embiid was hurt, and then we'll no-show the next game and have 6 points and turn the ball over and be uninterested. So I don't know. It doesn't mean anything for the rest of the series to me. He could be great. He could be bad. It doesn't matter what he did in game four.
The good news about James Harden is he did that in Dallas. And I don't know if you know Dallas's reputation when it comes to late night entertainment.
Yeah.
But that's probably a pretty good sign.
High level.
That he played well in Dallas. But can we talk about the Mavericks real quick? Because I know we want to move on to other games. And I do think you buried the lead. But how about 49 shots between Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic?
Kyrie was great. Luka's numbers looked good, but I thought he was out of rhythm as well. I thought he was totally unimpactful.
But if you just have a two-man team, I mean, that's 49 out of 81 shots between two players.
Yep.
I don't know if that works.
It doesn't. I mean, it didn't in this game.
Not in this game, but I don't know if that works going forward. Ben, the lead, obviously, is Cleveland still has yet to get to 100 points in the series. And Orlando, our magic, come back and tie the series at 2 games apiece. Now, if they can kind of shoot on the road, they will win this series. kind of shoot. They don't like,
yeah,
like 46% shoot.
Well, the funny thing they did in game three that helped turn the tides in their favor is what we had talked about before the series started, which is they just put Jalen Suggs on Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Who's the best defender. And they said, well, we're going to put him on and see if that helps.
And good luck.
For some reason, Jamal Mosley thought, let's try him off the ball. I don't know why that was the case. But yeah, the Cavs in Donovan Mitchell's run in Cleveland have broken the 100-point mark once in the playoffs. Once. Crazy. Really bad.
You can take a small guard out of a series.
You can. And if you want to disprove that, you could say it was the Knicks. Hey, the Knicks did beat the 76ers last night. Jalen Brunson had 47, a new Knicks record. But they only scored 97 points, too. It's not like they are these barn burners of games where Jalen Brunson is, you know, doing what he did throughout the regular season. Now, again, 47 and 10. He was awesome. I'll have a hot take about Jalen Brunson we can talk about coming up in the second hour if we want.
Honestly, the 76ers are surprisingly flawed.
Well, see,
More flawed than I would have thought.
It's the 76ers. They're historically bad in the playoffs, always. It doesn't matter what they do in the regular season. They're a joke in the playoffs.
And nobody likes Nick Nurse.
Nobody likes Nick Nurse. Yeah, they were really bad again. They're bad executing late. I know Joel's not fully healthy. He had 27 and 10, but was not the dominant player that he needs to be for them to win.
And we can both agree the Bucks are toast?
The Bucks are toast.
Down 3-1 to the Pacers?
Down two Achilles. Two healthy Achilles between Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard, who did not play yesterday.
Which is too bad. And they already couldn't play defense, and they're playing against the Pacers. So.
Yeah, this run of Giannis with the Bucks might be very, very rapidly coming to an end.
All right, what's next?
Number three, Jazz president Jim Olsen chatted with Hans and Scotty on Friday and gave some insight into the Delta Center renovations.
Well, there's a lot of work that still has to be done, and a lot of just creation and innovation and strategy and planning. But what I will tell you is we do know we're going to master that fan experience and those sight lines, and that we're going to create something that hasn't been done before.
Pretty cool. And Jim's entire conversation, I thought, was really great on Friday on Hans and Scotty. Even though I don't want to give any pub to that show for a different reason, but that was a good conversation.
Coming up at 2:05, Bill Armstrong, general manager of the Utah Hockey Club, is going to be on with Hans and Scotty. If you want more hockey, Phil.
We can weigh in on the arena, but do you know I sent them an AI song on Friday that they refused to play?
Well, we played our AI songs on Friday and had a good time with it.
Yeah.
And you had another one?
Well, because I felt bad, because Hans didn't react really well to his.
He was not
happy with it in a way that I really didn't anticipate. I mean, because you can, like I make jokes about Hans not being as good as Merlin Olsen, but It's Merlin Olsen.
Yeah, right. Merlin's the best he's ever done.
He's the best he's ever done. He's like a living legend. I think that's actually part of what makes it funny. But he was like, he didn't like the Rock part in a sense that he didn't want Rock to get like a big head.
A big head.
Like, Rock ain't there yet, that kind of thing. And so, anyway, he didn't love it. So I did one about Lloyd that I thought was really funny.
You and Carl and Dave wrote a song.
We wrote a song about Lloyd, and somehow that didn't make it onto the show.
Didn't make the air.
I thought it still needed tweaking.
Oh, I did a new one.
Oh, okay.
You and Carl got together after the show and wrote a new one.
We jammed one out. Do you want to? We can play it, but we don't
Let's
have
play
to play
it in the second hour.
We don't have to play it now. We can play it in the second hour. But I'm kind of bent. I felt ignored. I was like, I was doing something to help the content of their show. I think it's really funny, but it's about Lloyd, so, you know, of course it's going to get buried, right?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm all in on hockey. I'm excited to hear this Bill Armstrong interview coming up at 2 o'clock. I'm excited to see what they do at the Delta Center. But all these things that I think people are nitpicking over and worried about, like jerseys and like names, it's got an NHL team. I'm so excited to have them here. I can't wait to get to know the players better from a fan perspective, from a media perspective, see what type of role they're going to carve out for themselves in Utah, the team and the players and the coach and the GM. And we're already seeing it starting with Bill Armstrong coming up today at 2:05. Very cool.
All right. And I'm excited about the reno. The project sounds huge and awesome.
Just a cool $700 million plus. And then I want to see what it does to downtown. Certainly to have a big effect on
right now. There's a giant building across from the arena that is vacant, and that doesn't make any sense.
It needs to be bulldozed.
And the convention center is right there. I know there's some delicate stuff with the Japanese church, which I get that you got to navigate for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, the convention center is right there. Connect it all. Make it really cool.
But you're right. There's that big vacant building that the Delta Center is facing.
That's just doing nothing.
Let's gut that thing. Not my money, but do something with it.
And the Park Place, which is incredibly convenient to have a parking lot that size right there. But, I mean, you could use that. And that's technically owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I think.
I don't know.
All right. Should we play the hand song going out? This is the hand, what is it called? Second Chances? All right, let's go ahead.
Got a story about a man named Hans. Used to play ball, had big dreams and plans. But he wasn't as good as his Uncle Merlin. Always felt like he was just to throw it in. Now his son Rock, he was just to throw it in. Now his son Rock, he's the real deal. Gonna take the field, show him how it feels. Hans had his time, but now it's Rock's turn. He's gonna make his mark.
Sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The 50 segment is brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Peach Doors and Windows. I hate evaluating things at work. I like my job. Why do they have to ask for something negative?
Got a work feedback thing?
Yeah, I got a work feedback thing going on that I'm viciously overdue on.
Yeah, and they don't want you to say, everything's good. We're having a great time.
But I mean, there's so many terrible things I can say about Lloyd, but I don't want to...
You don't want to just run Lloyd, and then they'll know it's you. Because you're the only one who seems to consistently have a problem with Lloyd.
I actually have zero problem with Lloyd. You know, I've known Lloyd for now 25 years?
Going back to your days at Sears.
And Lloyd does a good job. Honestly, through all the ups and downs of the radio business, things are good. We've got a good show going, Ben. Working for a great company.
Yeah, we're happy.
Working with Lloyd and Nate is all the way on up.
We're the opposite of the Phoenix Suns right now.
Super supported, too. I mean, one of these questions is what can we do to support you? I don't know. You guys are doing a pretty bang-up job, honestly.
Oh, you know what? Honestly, can I tell you what to put in there? Wider parking spaces.
Oh!
Put it in there.
That's my only complaint.
Put it in there. Put in wider parking spaces.
Wider parking spaces.
We should all
be great.
Get together, and every one of us in this, complain about the size of the parking spaces downstairs.
And less reserved parking spaces that don't get used.
Yeah. Sorry, LDSBC. Sorry, Business College. You guys are taking up more spots than you're worth.
I think we should just bump the Des News.
Whatever it is. Yeah, whoever. Yeah, only floor two. Everyone on floor two, we're on the second floor here, gets...
Top-notch spots.
Gets better spots. So that we should all complain about the size of the spots. Because if everybody does it, they'll be like, we got a real problem downstairs.
I feel like they could sacrifice, I wonder what it would take. Sacrifice, 15 spots to make every spot, 6 inches wider.
Yeah, 6 inches wider on either side would really go a long way. That's what I would say for the parking spots.
Better support would be some wider spots. But even then, I compare it to at other points in my career. I'd have a list of so many things to complain about. You know where parking spots period would have gone? 50th. Now that's gone up to number one.
Which is a good sign.
That's a really good sign.
It's a good sign, yeah. Right. Life's good. Hey, it's the opposite, like I said, of the Phoenix Suns, who since getting eliminated last time, I mean, they came in at 10:30, right? That was the late game for the Suns. There is an article about how Matt Ishbia is an absolute idiot and makes all the decisions by himself. and doesn't know what he's doing. He's the owner of the Suns. Kevin Durant says Frank Vogel's a bad coach and runs the wrong offense and doesn't utilize Kevin Durant enough. Stephen A. Smith has a report out that Devin Booker's trying to get to the Knicks, and everyone knows Bradley Beal was awful and was absolutely embarrassed by Anthony Edwards last night, blowing by him for the huge dunk late in the fourth quarter that sealed the fate of the Phoenix Suns. I mean, that's four stories within 12 hours about what a disaster this team is. And it's exactly what I think Danny Ainge was afraid of with the Utah Jazz getting here, which is, oh, all of a sudden we're expensive. And even if you've got a good young player, because Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell are not all that different. If you want to say Devin Booker's a better player, fine. If you think Donovan's better, fine. Whatever. But the fear is that you were going to get old and really sour quickly, and it was going to be really hard to get out of some of these players because you're not going to win a trade with Kevin Durant. You're probably going to get less back regardless, especially at this point. You're not going to get what you paid for him. I mean, you couldn't get Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, and four draft picks for Kevin Durant right now. You truly can't trade Bradley Beal. He's got a no-trade clause still. He's not going to accept a trade elsewhere, and no one's going to take him. So that's unmovable. I mean, you're at the point where now you probably have to trade Devin Booker in the next 18 months, which is crazy to think of where they are, but none of them seem to like each other. No one wants to be in Phoenix anymore. And that situation is going to end up with a reputation of a bad owner who people aren't going to want to go play for. It's a disaster. You can say the Jazz are in a bad spot. I get it. The Jazz are not in a prime spot in the NBA. They are in the bottom third of positions in the NBA as far as teams trying to compete and how to get back there. But it could be a lot worse.
You know what's funny, though? To connect our conversations, if I were James Jones submitting my critique, be like, well, he's not Robert Sarver. Have you ever seen the baseball Simpsons where he throws, who is it, Don Mattingly? Mr. Burns throws Don Mattingly off the team because he told him to shave his sideburns, and Mattingly like shaves his sideburns like all the way up his head.
Yeah.
And Mr. Burns still yells at him and says, Mattingly, I told you to shave those sideburns. Go home. You're off the team. And then you remember Mattingly's line on the way out?
Better than Steinbrenner.
At least he's not Steinbrenner. Yeah, better than Steinbrenner. I think you're right.
Yep.
So, yeah, James Jones is like, God, this guy's a buffoon, but I'm just going to write better than Sarver.
You know what? I kind of wonder if Sarver let James Jones do his job, and James Jones would prefer to do that. Because I think Matt Ishbia thinks he's better at the job than everybody.
Well,
yeah. He played college basketball at Michigan State.
And you've had that observation about these young hotshot owners who come in and were like, these people in this business have been doing it wrong forever. Now they're going to get the gift of my knowledge.
By the way, and here's what I will do. I will credit Ryan Smith. Because look, what I will say about Ryan Smith from a business perspective is he's a doer. Like, he just gets things done. Look what he's done with this NHL team. Like, he rushes it, he pushes it through, and he gets the results that he's looking for. He has shown a lot of patience with this basketball team because he did make rush moves by going out and getting Danny Ainge and bringing Danny in, and like he forced that to happen. And then you know what he did? He gave Danny the keys to the car and has not interfered.
No.
He has not forced bad trades. He has not forced the Jazz to do things that Danny Ainge wasn't in control of. This team looks like what Danny Ainge wants it to look like right now.
Yep.
Because I think if you would have let Ryan Smith make all the decisions, it would look a lot differently. And I think he's doing the right thing by backing off and letting an expert in Danny Ainge build this team. Now, Danny's got a hit. Justin Zanuck's got a hit on these draft picks. They've got to make the right trades to rebuild this thing. That's what they bet on. But Ryan Smith hasn't taken his ethos with the rest of his life, which is 110% in, make moves, be aggressive. The Jazz have been really patient, and you hope it pays off. But credit to him, where a lot of other owners have come in and messed it up. I don't think you've seen that from Ryan Smith.
All right, stay tuned. We will have more coming up next. It is Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.